biggest round of guests and staff members with us that we've ever had before. As always, we have Graham with us, we have Ryan, and we have a newcomer to the team. We have James here, so I wanted to just say hi to you guys and see how you guys are doing today. How's it going?
Yeah, it's good. How are you?
Not too bad. James, Ryan?
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah, things are going well.
Nice. I also have another person here with me. I have Chris Jr. hanging out at the Nerdcast. So, yeah, there you go. You heard him? at some point throughout the show, you'll probably hear him chime in and say a few things and give his opinions on some of the games we're talking about. So if you hear him, don't mind him. He's just a crazy little guy. So let's kick this thing going. And, Graham, how about you tell us what you've been up to this past week, man?
Okay. So some of you who actually listen to the Nerdcast or whatever, you might actually know that I recently got promoted at work to become a supervisor.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, good. Yeah. Did you know that, James?
Yes, I heard that last time, yeah.
Ah, brilliant. Excellent. Well, last week I decided to quit my job. Huzzah!
Nice.
I've actually got about a month left, month and a half left. That's how I sort of worked it out with my bosses. But yeah, I decided, even with the new position and the more extra money I'm getting, it's not worth it. It's a terrible job, and I don't want to do it anymore, basically. It's slowly wearing me down.
So and, was it one thing that put you over the edge? Was it your boss yelling at you last week, or was it just was that the straw that broke the camel's back?
The thing that actually broke the camel's back was on nights we've got two main departments and we work completely separately of each other. But recently the main manager said, okay, for the night shift, both those departments, you only allowed one person off at a time, like holiday.
Right.
So like we had to coordinate our holidays together, if that makes sense. So if one person's off over there, people in my department couldn't like go off. And basically, if I had stayed, I wouldn't be able to go to my friend's wedding later this year. And that's like pretty much the main reason why I left, because it was ridiculous. Because we don't cover each other's work or anything. It's just stupid. But
did it create like inter-office rivalries between each team?
Well, no. Most people were just like shouting at our shift manager.
Okay.
Actually, people started shouting at me first because I had to break the news to everyone. I was like, hey, talk to the shift manager. And the shift manager was like, don't talk to me, talk to the main manager. And, yeah, everyone's passing the buck, and it's just, yeah, it's crap. So, yeah, I'm jobless. I'll be jobless soon. And but that's good. I have more time to devote to Sega nerds.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that'll be good.
I'll be like Ryan, actually. Thing. I'll be a bit like Ryan. Yeah.
You mean you'll be drunk and living on the streets?
Damn right. I wouldn't have it any other way, really.
Yeah.
Hand jobs money?
Yeah. $5, sucky. Okay, James, what's been up with you, man?
Not too much, just doing the standard stuff, you know, working, going to school. I've been playing quite a bit of video games lately. I mean, it's actually a little bit crazy. I should really just concentrate on one, but I'm spending like 40 minutes on a night on like four different games, so.
Oh god.
But it's fun, you know, I'm having a good time and sort of wating for the summer, kind of getting sick of the winter. And
so is it that you don't have, do you not have a good attention span or something? So like you get bored of one game and have to quickly move to another?
I actually was thinking about I usually have a good attention span. Like I do a lot of reading and you know, that usually you need a good attention span for that. But yeah, I don't know, there's just a lot of good games out right now that I really want to play, so.
Yeah,
just sort of doing like a rotation.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I do that sometimes. Cool.
I'm trying to. What was that?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Graham, I'm trying to finish Panzer Dragoon Saga. I know that's your favorite game.
Yes. Hell yeah! How far you got?
I'm on. I'm like towards the end of the third disc. So
okay.
I'm getting there.
Yeah,
it's good.
So, since this is the first Nerdcast that you've been on with us, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself to all the listeners, because I mean, they probably read some of your stuff on the website a few times, but I don't think they've ever really been able to see or read or hear a proper introduction from you. So how about you give it to us?
All right, sure. Yeah, my name's James. I live in the United States in Massachusetts. I'm a English and journalism major at UMass Boston. I work for a lab repair equipment company during the day, and after work I do, you know, my own writing, and I write for Sega Nerds, and I've been playing Sega games since I would say the first game I ever played on a Sega system was Sonic 1 on the Game Gear.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and I always wanted a Genesis, but my brother's older than me, and he, you know, sort of had more say, I guess, in what we got for, you know, joint presents or whatever on Christmas time. And he was always a Nintendo guy, and I kind of rued that. I really wanted a Genesis, but so I actually the time I really got into Sega was probably Dreamcast era. So that's my favorite system, and you know, I think that was probably what really started me loving Sega as a company and what they do. So yeah, that's about it.
Nice. Well, that was I guess as good a time as any to get into the Sega gaming. That was pretty much one of the golden years of Sega, I guess. So nice. Okay, Ryan, how about you tell us how you've been doing, man?
Well, as some of you might have seen on the forum, we had a massive storm here, very big, broke down the World War II German walls that we had on the beach that stopped the waves coming in, and it's flooded like a big part of the town.
Those damn Nazis failing again.
Yeah, they can't even build the walls. Rubbish. Yeah, so I was down there with one of my friends having a look at the wall, and it's in massive pieces all over the place. And we're on the beach, and we found a message in a bottle.
Oh. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
Like, for real?
Yeah,
like,
it was pretty awesome.
What did it say?
Well, it wasn't that interesting, because it had only been thrown in the sea the day before. But it had come from Sheffield, which is in England.
Yeah, that's quite far away.
Well, someone who lives in Sheffield, anyway.
So, okay, so wait, you live in Jersey, which is an island off the coast of England, right?
Yeah, South England.
Sort of, yeah.
Okay, and
yeah,
so
and
this...
he lives in England.
So Sheffield is actually a part of England, then?
Oh, yeah, it's a place in England, yeah.
Okay, so how far do you think it would have traveled, then?
Well, you can't really tell, because I figure he probably threw it from a boat, anyway. Ah. So he probably... in the
roughly 20, 30 yards, then?
About, yeah.
I'm just
he left his email, so I'm going to try and contact him, but his writing's rubbish. And it doesn't actually say anything apart from thrown in the sea on the 14th, which was... Wait, that was 2 days ago now, I think. And just his name and his email. So it wasn't that exciting.
I think he'll be a little disappointed if you go ahead and email him now, so I think you should wait about 20 or 30 years... and then email him.
Yeah. What I'll do is I'll wait. Yeah, I'll wait about... Yeah, I'll wait a few years, and then I'll say I'm actually in China. You'll love that.
Nice. Okay, good. So,
that's pretty much it.
Was there any damage to your home or anything like that in the flood?
Oh, no, because our house is sort of Jersey. It's sort of, there's flat bits, and then there's really high bits, sort of thing. And we're on a higher bit.
So you're in the high bet.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me.
I was just looking at a world map here, like, or England maps. I didn't know where Sheffield was exactly. It's like most of the way up England, but it's like right in the middle of the land. It's like nowhere near water. That's ridiculous. Oh, well. Yeah, so he must have been like... From
so he threw it really, really far.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Nice. Okay,
yeah,
well...
Anyway, carry on.
I'm glad that your house didn't get flooded and torn down. That's good.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I've had a pretty eventful week, depending on how you look at it. I talked to Graham a little bit about this earlier in the week, but I found out that I'm going to be deploying again for 6 months this time, not for like last time when I went to Iraq. I'm going to be deploying for 6 months come June, July time frame. And I'll be going to Qatar, and it's I don't know if you guys ever heard of Qatar, but it's a small country, I think, kind of south of Iraq. So, Yeah, depending on, you know, what kind of setup they have over there, you guys may or may not hear too much from me for the next several months, you know, when I go in June or July. But hopefully, I'll have some good internet connections and stuff, and I'll still be able to continue to post and, you know, maybe even do some Nerdcast with you guys. But I guess you guys are going to have to, you know, pick up the ball and run with it a little bit when I'm gone, and see. It'll be interesting to see how, see how everyone can do with the site while I'm gone. And I think it'll be. I'll leave it in good hands with you guys. I think you guys are well prepared to take it on. Yeah. So
this time next year it'll be Chris who?
Yeah. No kidding. Either that or.
Are you going to be stationed, like, in the middle of, like, a war zone or anything?
No, thankfully.
Are we going to hear bombs going off if you do
right.
Nerdcast?
No, I think it's a... I've been there before. I stopped there on my way to Iraq the first time, and coming back from Iraq... actually, when my deployment ended in Iraq, I was able to... my deployment ended, but I wasn't going to be able to get a plane from Qatar for, like, another week and a half. So what I was able to do, I wasn't able to get a plane from Qatar coming back to the States for like another week up until when my deployment ended in Iraq. So what I did is I took a plane from Iraq to Qatar, and I just hung out there for kind of like about a week and a half, just not really doing a whole lot of anything. But it's a pretty nice place, actually. We can drink 3 beers a day there. We couldn't drink at all in Iraq, and... seems to be a lot of cool stuff going on. But, yeah, there's no wars really going on over there right now.
That's okay.
But it's kind of like it's really where people come into – when they're coming into the desert, like to go to either Iraq or Afghanistan, people come through there, and they'll stop there, and they'll get equipment and things like that, and then they'll go on to Iraq or Afghanistan or some other places that they're going to. So yeah, I don't really know exactly who we're going to be working for over there, but most likely I'll be doing a lot of writing because that's my job in the Air Force. I'm a journalist, so I'll be doing a lot of writing, and maybe if you guys like to read the news, you might see some of my work, somewhere on the internet. So yeah, I don't know. It's going to be exciting, but at the same time, it's going to be frustrating leaving the family for that long. I won't like it. I'll end up missing. This will be the third Christmas out of the last 4 that I've missed with my family. I'll end up missing the twins' birthday, both my daughters' birthdays, and my wife and I, our anniversary. So that's going to stink. So, I guess that's what I get for joining the military, though. So I can't complain. So.
Yeah.
You can't drink in Iraq?
No, because they're afraid people will get drunk, and, you know, it's not very good when people are drunk and they're wielding weapons and trying to shoot bad guys.
That is the worst war crime of all.
Yeah. It's just not very conducive to winning wars, I guess, you know. So, at least some smart person said that. But, yeah, okay, that's pretty much what's been going on with all of us. Very, very fun week, I guess, we've all had. So now let's talk about a little bit about what we've been playing this past week. Graham, how about you lead us on into that and tell us what you've been up to?
Okay, yeah. Normally I play those games, but this week I've mainly been playing, I started in a slightly different way. Last week I was mentioning Frontlines Fuel of War, which I managed to complete in a few days. Right. And Chris told me to go and play Call of Duty 4.
Yes.
And with all this constant nagging, I decided, hey... what the hell? It won loads of awards. It can't be that bad. So I went and got it.
Right.
I don't like it.
That's because you don't like good games. I think everyone knows that.
But maybe that's what it is. I just I can see why people like it. It's got some very good parts to it. But overall, I'm just not a huge fan. I mean, first of all, the multiplayer. I think the multiplayer is good, but it's really bad for beginners. Because one of the first things I did was actually get on there and play the multiplayer with Chris, and in Halo and stuff, even though like the multiplayer feels dated, at least when you first start playing, you'll be like level 1s versus level 1s or whatever. But when I went on to Call of Duty 4, I was level 1 and I was against like level 30s, and when you level up in Call of Duty 4, you actually get like new weapons and stuff, and These guys had all the best like sniper rifles and things, and they knew where everything was. And I was just like wandering around these levels, going, "Where the hell am I going?" And I had like crap weapons. I was getting shot like every few seconds, and it just wasn't a lot of fun. I was getting noob, like shouted down in the microphone at me. And
were people actually saying that?
Yeah, it was like, "Oh, you fucking noob!" Yeah, it was just. I was like, okay, nice. Thanks.
Well, so, I don't think you can blame the game for you sucking.
Well, I think it's very, very unbalanced. I mean, they've got all the better weapons because they're like level 30 or whatever, and I was just about hanging on. And also, they kept spawning me where I just died, so literally where I just died, and there'd still be the bad guys there who killed me. Like, oh, there's another one. Bang. Oh, it's the same guy, whatever. Or they'd have bad guys spawning behind me. Like I'd be like about to snipe someone, and then suddenly a bad guy would just like appear behind me, and I'd be like, "Oh my god!" And yeah, you know. So I wasn't too impressed by that, but I can see why people do like the game. I mean, the graphics are really good for one thing, and the gameplay's pretty realistic. But like the single player game, which I haven't been enjoying that much. I find it too much like Call of Duty 3, which I really didn't like at all. And I'm still going to play it and try and complete the single player, but. I don't think it deserved Game of the Year or anything. I mean, it's quite good. I'd probably give it like a 7 out of 10 or whatever if I had to review it, but... Yeah.
Whatever.
And, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Have you guys played it? James? Nate?
I played... My friend brought it over, and we just sort of, like, powered through the single player in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was pretty good, but it wasn't good enough for me to go out and buy.
Yeah, I can see
after
that.
After I'd beaten the single player, like if I hadn't beaten it, I think I probably would have went and picked it up. But the thing you're saying about multiplayer, I can understand because I seem to remember every multiplayer Call of Duty I've played has sort of been like that. Like I start off and it's just people are too good. Like, I can't even gain any ground. So
yeah,
I can see that complaint kind of makes some sense. But yeah, like Chris said, I guess it's probably just a matter of not sucking. Maybe if we practiced and got better at it, it would be a fun time. But
yeah, no, I think I'll continue playing and doing a bit of the multiplayer and stuff, and hopefully I'll get better and start to enjoy it more. But yeah,
maybe you will.
Yeah, and the other game I've actually been playing quite a bit of was Sega sent me Sega Superstars Tennis recently.
Oh, nice.
They sent me the Xbox 360 version and the DS version. Which is great. So thanks to Sega. Thanks for that.
That's nice of them. What version have you been playing?
I've actually been playing both, the DS and 360.
Okay.
Mainly the 360, though.
So what can you tell us about it?
Well, what do you want to know? Do you want me to go into like full detail, or just want to give snippets?
Yeah, tell us, I'll let you decide how much detail you want to go into it.
Well, for fans of... fans of Virtua Tennis, I'd say this is better than Virtua Tennis 3. That's my immediate reaction to the game. It's just so much more fun. I mean, Virtua Tennis 3 was a good game, but I've just like when I first played the original Virtua Tennis, I had this great feeling when I was playing it and was really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Virtua Tennis 3, I enjoyed it, but I didn't get the same feeling. But this, I'm getting that same feeling again. Like, the controls and everything is perfect, and they've got all the mini games which are really good fun, and like it's just fun to see all the. Sort of references to Sega games and stuff. Like the mini games are all very different. Like you've got like a House of Dead mini game where you're trying to hit tennis balls at the zombies and things. You've got like a Virtual Cop mini game where you're trying to like hit tennis balls at like it's like the Virtual Cop one is almost like it's like the light gun game. Like you're sort of at a sort of first person view, and you have to aim at the target at bad guys as they pop up, and like you hit tennis balls at them that way.
Right.
And you've actually got, like, the level from Virtual Cop 1 on it. It's really good.
Cool.
And the multiplayer is pretty good as well. I had my brother around, luckily, and we started playing a bit of the local multiplayer, and that's pretty damn good.
Have you tried any online yet?
Not yet, actually, no.
It'd be interesting to see how many people are online since the game really hasn't released yet.
I should do it, actually, yeah. Give that a go.
That'd be kind of fun. Yeah. I was just checking around real quick. At Metacritic.com, the Xbox 360 version currently has a 65 out of 100 average review score.
Really?
Yeah, so it got a couple 70s and even a 58 from EGM. Just from the short time that you've been playing it, do you think that that would be a fair score?
Not really. I guess for some people, a 70 or 7 out of 10 would be pretty good. That's not a bad score or anything, but... Right. Going down to like a 50 or whatever, I don't think this game deserves that. I mean, it's actually a really fun game. Okay. I guess if you don't like tennis that much, then maybe you won't enjoy it at all. But people who actually enjoy like the virtual tennis games or whatever, I think they'll enjoy this as well just as much.
Now, do you think this...
Like DS, but,
go ahead.
No, you go. Yeah.
Okay, I was just going to say, do you think that this game's only going to appeal to those people out there who are Sega fans or Sega nerds? Or do you think it could actually, you know, win some people over who aren't, you know, some of the newer gamers out there that aren't very, experienced with the Sega franchises?
Well, I think it will definitely appeal more to the Sega fans, obviously, because it is Sega Superstars Tennis. But if anyone else would like to pick up the game who didn't know about, like, some of the Dream... Like, they've got a lot of Dreamcast-like games or references in there, like Space Channel 5 and Samba de Amigo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people who don't really know about that sort of stuff, they probably, when they pick up the game, they'll enjoy it, but they probably won't get all the references, if you get what I mean. Like, the gameplay is solid. The gameplay is, like, really good. And it's just as good as Virtua Tennis, as I said. And I think anyone can really pick up the game and enjoy it quite a lot. And I think if, like, non-Sega fans actually played it, they might get into the games a bit more.
All right. Walk us through real quick, just like a typical match. You know, how does it play out? Is it all based? Does it focus a lot more on special shots and things like that, or is there quite a bit of just good old fashioned, you know, tennis playing going on?
To be honest, it is more good old fashioned tennis. You actually get you get a special move called a superstar move, where you if you're doing well in the game, you get enough. Like, if you're doing enough good shots, you get your superstar move unlocked, and then, like, you pull down one of the trigger buttons, and your character, like, starts to glow and stuff. And it depends on which character you are. Some characters will be able to run faster. Like, Sonic turns into Super Sonic, and he can run faster. And then other characters will do, really crazy shots, where the shots will, like, zoom around the courts, like, completely randomly, and then bounce on the other side, so it's quite hard for the other players to hit it. And, that's, like, kind of, like, that's trying to introduce, like, the whole, like, super moves to the game. But overall, the gameplay is a lot like Virtua Tennis, I guess. It is basically just, like, solid tennis.
Okay. Nice. So, fun game, then?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, multiplayer's really good. Single player's great. I mean, the one thing that's missing from it over Virtua Tennis is, like, Virtua Tennis is, like, the world tour modes where you, you start off with, like, your own character, and you sort of build up and get like different equipment, and you try to train and like, win Wimbledon and stuff like that. But this game doesn't have any mode like that at all. It is basically the tournaments, like online play, the mini games, and just like quick matches. There's no like world tour or anything.
Okay.
But even that missing, it's still a great game. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. It's just good.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it.
They should have done a Sega sort of, you know, a Sega world where you can tour around and stuff and go to different places.
Yeah, there is the sort of mini game mode. There's actually sort of two mini game modes. There's one where you just like play in like little areas of like just do little mini games featured on certain Sega games. But you also get a mode called Superstar mode where you sort of do tour a sort of map, but it's not exactly a proper map. It's just like it'll say like Monkey Ball, House of the Dead, like Sonic, and you sort of click on it, and then you've got like a breakdown of different mini games for those zones. It's not like a proper touring thing,
no.
But anyway, so like there's a Jet Set Radio one, which you go to a Jet Set Radio zone, and some of the missions will be you've got to like pick up these different colored spray paints, and then like hit the balls at like a tag zone, and depending on the color of the paints, it'll make the tag go that colour and stuff, or you've got to dodge the police. There are like lots of different mini games based on the actual game, and like so, dodging the police is really good fun. You've got these police just running after you, going and like the Sonic one. There's a Sonic one. You've got to go around collecting rings, like while avoiding attacks from robots and stuff.
Nice.
But, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay,
I bet the same people who gave it low scores, they're gonna they're going to give Mario Tennis, the next one, really high scores just because it's a Nintendo game.
Yeah. I've only played a bit of Mario Tennis and I thought it was okay, but I've just playing this a little bit, I think this is better. But then again, I haven't played Mario Tennis a whole lot, so... Yeah, I know what you mean, though. Like, it seems like people seem to go for Mario games a lot more than Sonic games right now, which is kind of annoying.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right, well, okay, so is that all you've been playing this week, then?
Yeah, those two games. Oh, one other thing. One thing I was surprised about is the DS version I thought was meant to have online play, but it actually doesn't.
Yeah?
Okay. Do you guys know about that? I vaguely remember someone saying, like, one of the developers talking about how the Wii doesn't have online play, but the DS version did. And yeah. I was looking at the box, and it doesn't have anything about Wi-Fi connection. I was actually looking in the manual, and it seems you can only do, like, DS to DS play. So, yeah, kind of a bit disappointed about that, because I was hoping to get online and play with some of you guys, like, on the go. But I think you can do that. Anyway, yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing, those two games.
Okay. All right, well, you know, I've been playing a couple other newly released games. I picked up House of the Dead 2 and 3 Return for the Nintendo Wii, and also Condemned 2 Bloodshot for the 360, which is probably one of my most anticipated games of this entire year. Really excited about that. House of the Dead 2 and 3, you know, I never played House of the Dead 3, so this is kind of a new experience for me. I did play House of the Dead 2 quite a bit, and I was familiar with it also because I had Typing of the Dead 2, or Typing of the Dead for the Dreamcast. So I'm familiar with the game. I like it. I think it's a very good purchase for only $30 for the Wii. I was really surprised because the Wiimote as a light gun. I haven't played was it Ghost Squad yet? So this is actually my first Nintendo Wii light gun game, and I was really surprised at just how responsive and precise the Wii remote was. You know, using it. In a light gun game. So that was really surprising. Very accurate shots. Very fun game. It's pretty hard. And, you know, I don't know how many people are actually going to want to play the game, you know, from those people who haven't played it before or who aren't hardcore Sega fans. You know, I don't know about that. But from what I've played of it, it seems to be a pretty fun game. And, you know... Might be a good pickup for those Sega nerds out there who are interested in, you know, going back and playing the game again. But what I can say though is that even though it's fun playing with the Wii Remote, I have to say Typing of the Dead was probably a little bit more fun, and I thought was actually required a little bit more skill than rather just pointing and shooting. You know, rather than you actually have to go in and type all the words and things like that to kill your enemies. I thought that was a lot more fun. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Well, Sega's making Typing the Dead 2 right now, and it would be interesting, and hopefully they would choose to bring it our way, you know, instead of just releasing it in Japan. House of the Dead is a pretty good game. Condemned 2...
I was going to ask, on House of the Dead, Ghost Squad, you actually got, like, a cursor that appears on the screen?
You can.
House of the Dead have that?
Yeah, you can have a reticle on the screen, or you can turn it off. They give you several options. You can turn it off and have none at all, which I don't understand why you'd want to do that. Or you can have your reticle, and you actually can change the look of it. That's one of the new things that they added in. You can change the look at it. And apparently there's some other... I haven't gotten too far, or I don't know if I've unlocked this ability or not. I don't know exactly how you do it, but I was reading up... a couple of weeks ago, and apparently Sega added in the ability to block in the game, and you can actually block regular attacks and also attacks from bosses, but I haven't figured out actually how to do that yet, so...
Okay, yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, and what's kind of cool, though, too, is you know, once you play through the game and you die at any certain point, it'll allow you to unlock... you know, one extra continue or one extra life or something like that. So if you keep dying, the game makes it a little bit easier for you. So that's kind of fun if you just can't get over a certain spot or something like that. You can go back in and, you know, up how many lives or continues you get to, you know, try to get over that hurdle and finish the game. So Yeah, I think for only a $30 purchase, you know, at this generation, $30 is kind of the budget price. So I think that's a pretty good pickup if you guys are looking for another light gun game after playing Ghost Squad. So.
Yeah. How's House of the Three play? Because in the arcade, you said you haven't played it, but in the arcade, you actually get a big shotgun.
Yeah, it's like, still all shotguns. And that's one of the things, you know, that's you reminded me. Playing through House of the Dead 2 with a light gun and everything like that with the Wii Remote, I was really kind of disappointed because it seemed like the bullets were very weak. It seemed like the gun itself just, I had to shoot every enemy several times before I was able to kill him. But I was really surprised when I went and stopped playing House of the Dead 2 and went on to House of the Dead 3 with the shotgun. It was a lot more strong. The graphics, of course, are a lot better. And, you know, I think House of the Dead 3 is a lot better than House of the Dead 2.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot more just because of the fact that you don't have to shoot a single enemy several times, like two or three times before they'll die. With the shotgun, you hit them one time in the head and, you know, they're pretty much, you know, guaranteed to be dead. And that makes the game a lot more fun and a little bit more fast-paced. So one of the things, I guess, is kind of annoying right when you start off the game, if you haven't made sure that you calibrated the Wii Remote, sometimes you'll start the game off and I don't really know why, but the game won't recognize where you're pointing the Wii Remote at, so you actually won't even have a reticle on screen. You kind of have to wave it around really quickly. But by the time you usually can get your reticle to go on screen, you'll actually be attacked maybe once or twice by some incoming zombies. So that's kind of frustrating. So if you're playing it, make sure that you always go in and calibrate your Wii Remote before you play. So that's just one tip. So yeah, I guess that's House of the Dead 2 and 3 Return in a nutshell. So hopefully we'll have a review up pretty soon. I don't think I'm reviewing it. I think who's reviewing that? Is that you, James?
Yeah, I was supposed to. Yeah, I was supposed to review that. I'm waiting for the copy to come in the mail, though.
Yeah, hopefully Sega sends that to you. We haven't had some luck recently with Sega of America, but hopefully they'll come through on that and get it to you pretty soon. The other game I've been playing is Condemned 2 Bloodshot, and that's a follow-up to one of my favorite Xbox 360 games of all time, is Condemned Criminal Origins. And so far, I'm pretty impressed with everything it's offering. Graphically, it doesn't look a lot better than the first game. You know, there is an improvement, I guess. The combat system has definitely been upgraded. You can now punch, triggers are mapped to each hand, so if you hit the R trigger, it punches with your right hand, and the left trigger with your left hand. And you'll also, if you're fighting very well, the game will allow you to make some combos and even more. It's almost kind of like some QTE things that pop up. If you're fighting and you get a couple combos, or I guess it's like a rage gauge almost. It'll go up, and once that's full, the game will go in slow motion, and when you're fighting someone, it'll say right trigger, and you have to hit the right trigger, then you have to hit the left trigger, and then you have to hit them both at the same time. And if you hit all those correctly, you'll pretty much kill the guy you're fighting against. So. I'm not too far into the game yet. I've only probably put maybe an hour and a half or so into it. But it's definitely seems like a really cool game, and so far I'm most definitely not disappointed with it. So pretty cool. Who's
cool?
Is someone's cell phone ringing? What's up with that?
That was mine. Yeah,
God,
sorry guys.
Turn that shit off. So okay, yeah. So that's pretty much what I've been playing this week. I don't know if you guys had any questions about Condemned 2 or not.
Oh, bloody hell! The main phone's going now. Jesus.
I think someone wants to talk to you. Okay, let's everyone wait until Graham's ready. All right, we're waiting for you.
Someone else picked you up. It's okay.
So
carry on.
Okay. All right. Jesus. Okay. James, what have you been playing, man?
Well, I've been playing quite a bit lately, but only talk about a couple things. I've been playing on the PSP, the RPG game Jeanne d'Arc. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. But.
No.
Actually, I have quite a bit. That's one of the games I've been wanting to get, but for whatever reason, I've never been able to pick it up.
Hmm. Yeah, no, it's a really great game, actually. It's if you like RPGs, there's a lot of managing of stats and equipment and all that stuff. It's grid based, so you know you're moving characters around on these little game boards.
Right.
And the beginning of every mission, you get an objective, and it's kind of one of the things that irritates me about the game. You have to complete the objective, or you fail, and it's, you know, it just kicks you right back to the title screen.
Huh.
But beyond that little like irritation, it's actually really good. You start off and the game's about Joan of Arc, the French, whatever, I don't know what she is, like just some woman, I guess, who can hear God telling her, you know, to save France from the English. So
yeah, she was.
Should I spoil the end for you?
Oh, okay,
I'll spoil the end, shall I?
Okay, I think we all know. But I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm not sure what happens in the game. But I'm about 4 or 5 hours into it, and I think it's really good. It's like the combat's really good. You get in there and you've got to manage. You can play anything from like 5 to 7 soldiers on the battlefield at once, and there's a lot of just strategy involved, and it's really kind of sometimes you got to sit there for a minute before you move and make sure you're making the right move, and I think that's pretty engaging. You're kind of forced to think about what you're doing more than some other games out there, but so far it's pretty good, and I'm really enjoying that. And the other game I'm playing is Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Yeah,
nice.
Hey.
Saturn.
Blast from the past.
And yeah. I'm on the third disc of that. Might have said that before, but it's that game is pretty good too. I mean, I don't know if all
pretty
the hype
good.
Is kind of. Well, no, it's a great game. It's just I think that all the hype for, like, you know, I've been watching this game for 5 years or so on eBay and, you know, trying to pick it up and just hearing how great it is, and it is an excellent game. I think I may have built it up a little bit too much in my mind, but you know, getting over that sort of like the hype I've built up for it, it is really excellent. It's
kind of like
a great
sex,
game,
right? Like the first time you have sex. You think it's going to be so great, and most of the time, the first time is not that awesome.
Yeah, it's clumsy and awkward.
Yeah. And really it's really fast.
At least with this game, you won't end up crying in a corner.
Nice.
I think everyone should ignore James, though. It's the best game ever made, okay?
No, it's an excellent game. I mean, I kind of wish I could have played it back then, but I would say that, you know, the price is, it's really expensive. I think I got mine for like $180. And
worth every penny, damn it.
It's kind of a lot, but I'll say, you know, if you're a Sega fan or an RPG fan or a Saturn fan, it's probably worth the money. I'd say pick it up if you can find a copy for under a couple hundred or whatever.
And, or you could go and buy a couple of Chinese orphans off eBay.
Oh, God. You won't have as much fun with
That's probably true. You can make them work for
you. So you're enjoying it. That's the main thing.
Yeah, I am. I'm having a good time with it. I'm, I really actually do. I must say that the presentation and the storyline is really top notch. It's something you don't really see in games all that much, where the narrative takes such a frontal role, where, you know, they're really trying to convey things in these characters and the world they live in, and it's excellent to go through and see what's happening. I actually can't wait to get to the end and find out exactly what happens to everyone.
Yeah, the ending's great.
I actually just started playing the game too this week.
Tragic.
I'm sorry. Well. No, go ahead, James.
No, I was just saying I heard the ending's a little bit tragic. It's just from something I've read online, but I don't know how true that
it's
is.
It's brilliant.
Well, won't spoil it, but it's not something you'd expect from a normal, you know, Japanese RPG with all the happy endings and the
right. That's what I heard. I heard it's not just like, you know, everything's okay at the end. I heard it's actually kind of a little bit, you know, saddening and
yeah.
That's sad.
It's good because
in a good way.
Yeah, the whole series is sort of bleak You know, everything is sort of like, the landscape is bleak and everyone's sort of, it's sort of like a depression type thing.
Yep.
That's what makes it so good, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you played the other ones, James? The like Panzer Dragoon, Panzer Dragoon II, and Orta?
Yeah, I've played through all of those, actually. This was the last one. I'd never played this for so long, and I finally got it. It was like a big achievement for me.
So. Nice. Yeah, actually, I actually started playing the game, too, this week, but I only got through like the first opening cutscene, so I haven't put very much time into it. Maybe about 15 minutes, but I do plan on playing through it very soon because, like James said, it's one of those games I think every real Sega fan needs to play. You know,
And
because the game's just been so expensive, I've never been able to pick it up. I don't know. It was kind of hard to spend that amount of money on a video game, but so yeah, I'm playing through it too. So hopefully next week I can maybe give some of my thoughts on the game. But yeah, hopefully it's going to live up to my expectations because I know everyone I've talked to and everyone all the threads and stuff on forums throughout the internet over the last few years have just made the game seem legendary, and I can understand, James, if the game didn't live up to your expectations, because it's kind of built up to be this ultimate RPG, kind of like the pinnacle of Sega gaming almost. So yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of hard to live up to those lofty expectations. Yes.
So. I think it is. Then again, I probably look at it through rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah.
Now.
That's nice.
Yeah, I'll probably do as well, but it is the best game I've ever played.
Right, okay. Ryan, have you been playing any video games this week?
Yes. Before I start, I want to just say that last time I was on the Nerdcast, I did mention that I hadn't got the club yet, and Sega of Europe were nice enough to just send me a copy. So
wow.
That's excellent. So that's what I've been playing. Just wanted to mention that and say thank you very much. You're awesome. Send me some more.
Yeah, well, you know, Sega of Europe, I don't have a PlayStation 3. So maybe you can help me out with that. If you guys are sending stuff to Ryan and Graham all the time. So.
Yeah, I don't have a car at the moment. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Right. I've seen some of those really cool Sega promotional vehicles run around on the internet sometimes. Maybe they'll send you one of those. Yeah, would you drive a Sonic? Would you drive like a Sonic themed vehicle?
If it was free, yeah.
Yeah, damn right.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's what I've been playing. That's pretty fun. And back to Panzer Dragoon again. I've been playing Orta.
Great.
But I've been playing the side story that you unlock. What's his name? Ivor's side story or something? I don't know what it's called. Side scenario. It's about like a boy from the Empire, the bad guys. You can unlock that if you finish the game or you play for 20 hours or something. You unlock that, and you play from his point of view, and you fly the enemy ships.
I never knew that even existed in the game.
Yeah, you have to go to the Panzer Dragoon, what's it called? Box.
Pandora's Box.
Pandora's Box, yeah, that's it. And then you can unlock, I think it's called a sub-scenario, and then you go in, and it's Ivor's story. And, yeah, you follow the story of an Imperial boy who's dying of a disease. And
wow. Yeah, Graham, I thought everyone knew that. I mean, what kind of Sega nerd are you?
Oh, my God. No, I seriously had no idea that he was even in the game. Jesus.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's really good.
I've got a copy somewhere. Where is it? I haven't played it for a long time, actually.
Yeah, no, it's all told in sort of like drawings and text and stuff, but then in between you play like levels where you train to be a soldier, and then you take out the ships that sort of like the normal flying enemy ships. You fly one of them and then you leave, and it gets excellent. It's a really good side story.
Nice.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
That's what I can play when I haven't got a job. Excellent.
Yes, I'm sure you'll be able to get caught up on a lot of your backlog of video games, Graham.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
Okay, that's what we've been playing this week. Let's go right on into the newsstand. Last week we talked about the big Sega of Japan Dreamcast promotion where they were giving away free email addresses to everyone. Well, we found out later in the week that it wasn't quite Sega of Japan giving away free email addresses. Turns out that it seems to be a phishing scam. And I guess we're kind of sorry for, you know, telling everyone about it. I think we should apologize because it appears that whoever signed up for that service might get some spam sent to their email boxes now. I think, you know, that was bad in itself, but I guess it's even more of a letdown that it's not really Sega showing interest in the Dreamcast again. I think that's the real disappointment, at least from my point of view. So I don't know. What do you guys think about this?
Well, we are sorry for, like, if we got anyone's hopes.
It's Graham's fault. He posted it.
Yeah, it is partly my fault. Yeah, but I think when I first saw it, I actually thought this can't be real. But looking at the websites and stuff, it did actually look quite good. And at the time, I actually thought Dreamcast.com was still registered to Sega.
Right. Apparently, it's someone else owns it now.
Someone else owns it now, and I didn't realize that. And it actually was linked to like the official Sega Japan website and everything. So when I was actually looking into it, I thought, yeah, that could be actually real. Like maybe something is happening. But turns out obviously I was wrong. But also, not just me, a lot of other people were wrong. So
yeah, me. Although I didn't sign up, I was smart and left other people do it.
Well, I still haven't got my confirmation email back, so I think I'm lucky, maybe.
I did end up getting mine, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you had any extra spam?
No, actually I haven't, but, you know.
Just the usual cock extension, then.
Right, yeah, and, you know, I've actually bought into some of those a couple times. They don't work, don't do it, but. yeah, hopefully I don't get any spam, but, you know, if I do. We'll deal with it. So, yeah. that's the big news, I guess. There, don't sign up for it. I think it's been taken down now, right?
I'm not actually too sure. I haven't gone near it since the whole thing was announced.
Yeah, I don't think that people can sign up for email address anymore. So that's bad. But, we're sorry about it.
But the big thing is that Sega should realize that so many people actually thought that it was real and they tried to like sign up for it, that maybe Sega should realize it's so much interest still in the Dreamcast.
You know, I think that they already know. I think they know the interest in it, but at this point I just don't think that they're, from a financial standpoint, that they're very interested in going back and revisiting the hardware, you know, industry.
Well, no, I'm not suggesting they should like start making consoles again or anything, just I don't know. It's just they seem to have basically forgotten about the Dreamcast and all their websites and everything. I kind of think if you look at all the the Sega America and Sega Europe websites, they've like completely forgotten about the Dreamcast. Right. I think it would be good if they actually just sort of like revisited and opened up a bit about their retro stuff. You know?
Yeah. No. I agree. That would be nice. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's keep moving on. This week, also, I guess this is probably the biggest piece of news. That last piece was kind of disappointing, but this is good news. I guess if you're, depending on who you are, this is good news, I guess. Sega filed a trademark for Sonic Unleashed. There's not a whole lot of information other than the name Sonic Unleashed, but people are kind of, they seem to be going crazy all over the internet. Some people are either excited about the new Sega game, which I am, or they're in, you know, the other camp where they're just kind of complaining about the whole thing. They think Sonic Team should just hang it up, and I guess what was the website that we posted about today? Was it Game Life or something like that?
Yeah, it's one of the Wired blog network sites called Game Life. Like Game/Life sort of thing.
Yeah, it is Game Life. Yeah, they posted an article about that they think Sega should just go ahead and kill off the whole Sonic franchise now, and at least until they can do something good with the series. But I don't know. I just kind of wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. What do you think?
Well, I sort of agree that they probably should either wait a while or kill him off. But what annoyed me about the Game Life thing was they were saying, oh, give it to someone else. Why? Sega are, like, completely capable of making a good Sonic game. Just not Sonic Team.
Right.
You know, give it to someone else.
Yeah. Or give it to another Sega developer, yeah? That made more sense than like giving it to Sony. She suggests Sony, doesn't she, or something?
Yeah.
That'd be a bit weird. you make a good point there. I personally, I don't agree with her. On the whole killing Sonic thing, I think it's a bit too harsh. Personally, I think that rather than killing Sonic off, they should just kill all the other characters off. Not kill them off, forget about them. Every Sonic game that's been bad has been the ones which they've had other characters in that you have to play as, and it just ruins the whole gameplay experience. Like Sonic 06, which is probably the worst Sonic game ever made. Not only was it really buggy, but the playing as Shadow and Silver, that just detracted from the whole Sonic franchise. Basically, as Shadow, you're using vehicles, and as Silver, you were having to levitate boxes and stuff and throw them at robots, which is ridiculous.
Exactly. But no one wants to do that crap.
Yeah. If it was just Sonic on his own, perfect, I'd say. I actually enjoyed the Sonic levels, apart from the bugs and crap in the game. The Sonic levels were quite good fun, I thought. Just all the other stuff was rubbish.
Okay.
I find they've just thrown in all of the other characters, just to have them there. It's they don't add anything to the story now. They're just there.
Yeah.
Just tagging along.
Exactly, yeah. Like Sonic Adventure 2, you'd have Knuckles who'd be searching for gems or searching for the Master Emerald, and then you'd have Rouge the Bat, who's also searching for exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same level over again. It's what's the point of that? Whereas if it was just Sonic running through, maybe Tails running through as well, perfect, I'd say. But yeah, what do you think, James?
Well, I don't. I don't think people should be really jumping to conclusions right now about the game that, no one knows anything about currently.
Yeah, I agree.
For the first thing. Sonic 06, I do kind of agree that was bad. I would say if Sonic Team had maybe a little bit more time and, like Graham said, didn't even develop those parts where you played as other characters, that would have really went a long way in sort of giving them the time to polish Sonic's portion of the game.
That's a good point, actually.
And, I mean, if they didn't have to spend all the time and budget or whatever the constraints are, doing Silver sucks anyway. as a character, everything about him is, abrasive and just, he's like a nag. But, I don't know. I think if they have enough time with Sonic Unleashed, whatever it ends up being, I think given enough time, they can probably make a good game. I don't know. Sonic Team, everyone's kind of lost faith in them a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe this, in the same breath, I think it's, you need to give them a chance. You can't just say, this game's going to suck when no one knows anything about it.
Right.
Yeah. Do we even know which console it's for? Yeah.
No, we know nothing aside from the name.
Yeah, it's just a trademark.
Exactly.
But
so
I think I've heard that it's the Xbox 360, but I don't take that with a pinch of salt. But that's what I've heard.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, it's just the way everyone's comparing it to Sonic 06 and stuff. I was wondering if it had been announced for the Xbox 360 or PS3, but
it's not been announced. All we know is a trademark name, so it could be anything.
Yeah.
It might not even come to anything at all.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they companies trademark names all the time and don't end up using them. So you're right. Yeah, that's a good point too. So yeah, I think moral of the story is I think we should, like what James said, just let's sit back and wait before we jump to conclusions and just let's just see what Sonic Team has in store for us. And this could be the Sonic game that we've all been waiting for. It could be the 3D Sonic game that blows us away and has been what everyone has just been waiting and wanting for so long. Or at the same hand, it could be another crappy 3D Sonic game. So I think right now we should all just probably settle down and just wait and see what they have in store. So
yeah,
that's what that is. One other piece of news is Sega invited us to take part in a teleconference with some of the guys at Sumo Digital, Steve Lysett, And I guess, you know, I'll turn this over to James and kind of, James, how about you tell us about your experience with the guys at Sumo Digital and the teleconference with Sega?
All right, well, so I was invited to a teleconference, and the meeting was going to take place at 10:30 in the morning, and that's Pacific time. So I had to leave my day job to come conduct this conference call. So I got here and I was sitting here and waiting and sending out emails to the people that were involved. And 10 o'clock, I think. Yeah, 10 o'clock rolled around and there was no call. And then 10:30 rolled around and there was no call. So I ended up calling our contact at Sega of America and leaving him a message. And he wrote back a couple hours later saying, you know, oh, we screwed up and whatnot. So we actually missed out on the actual conference call. But in an attempt to make things right, I guess, he set it up so that I could ask sort of an exclusive question and answer session with Steve Lysett, and we have that, and we posted that on the website. So if you want to go look at the interview there, you can find it. It was pretty good. So I guess beyond that little communication screw up, the conference call, question and answer went okay. some of the answers we got for questions are actually really good answers. I mean, we asked some good questions, and like I said, check that out on the main site. But there was some good news revealed in that, and I don't know, it kind of got me a little bit more excited about the game, but that's about it for the conference call.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You missed it, but in the end, it turned out well because we got like an exclusive thing instead of a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, that's true. We got our own sort of personal question and answer session. And the other thing we should mention, I'm sure people have already seen it, but just should mention again, we have an exclusive trailer for the game up on the website, and it's actually a really good trailer. So if you haven't seen it, you should go check it out.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it actually shows gameplay footage from each version of the game. There's going to be a 360, PS3, Nintendo Wii, and DS version of the game. So, yeah, if you haven't seen that, definitely check it out so far. It's actually going to be exclusive until Monday. That's when Sega is going to go ahead and release it to the rest of the video game, journalists and that kind of stuff. So we have it until Monday, and then it's going to be released to everyone else. But, you know, it's kind of cool to get that. One other thing, about the whole Sumo Digital thing, Steve, actually, he's been posting on our forums, and he's been answering some questions from our readers and some of our forum members. We took questions from our forum members, and some of those did get into our interview, and some of them didn't. Quite a few of them didn't, just because there were so many. But I really appreciate Steve dropping by the forums, and he actually went and answered several times. He came back in and answered pretty much every question our forum members had, and I really appreciate him taking the time out of his busy schedule to come in and do that. That was kind of nice of him. So he definitely didn't have to do that. But it's really cool, I think, to see developers or people in the actual the video game industry taking note of Sega Nerds and saying, hey, you know what, this could be a good opportunity to come in and talk to some of the fans and things like that. So I think it's kind of neat to see that I guess we're getting noticed by the developers too.
Yeah, I think that's very rare to actually see developers actually going to proper websites and answering personal questions, basically. I don't think that's done very often, is it?
Yeah, I think he's a producer.
Yeah, I think he is.
Well, he's part of the company that made the game, so
Well,
big thanks to him for that, because that's really good.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Not to mention the whole, we've got an exclusive trailer. It's good to be on the good side of an embargo type thing.
Yeah. For once. That's funny. Okay, yeah, that pretty much wraps up our newsstand this week. last week, because we went so long, our Nerdcast last week was probably over 2 hours. We had a cut. It came from the forums. But this week, thankfully, we trimmed it down a little bit, and we're going to have it now. So I'm going to hand it over to James, and he's going to take us into this next segment.
All right, so people that listen to the Nerdcast will probably know that this is where we pick a topic from the forums that we think was interesting, and we like to talk about it in the Nerdcast and get some opinions on it. And this week we've chosen a post written by Psycho Echidna, a member of our forums, and the topic was Sega games that you think Sega nerds have never played but should play now. So, you know, basically a little bit sort of lesser known games that are still of really good quality, and, you know, you guys should pick them up. So let's start off with Graham. Graham, do you have a game that you think everyone should play?
God.
One thing that we're going to do here, just to make it a little bit easier on us, we're not going to narrow it down to just games that Sega either published or developed. We're going to open it up to games that were also developed for Sega consoles. So it could be any game that was, you know, either developed or published by Sega, or one game that was just put on a Sega console. So what do you got?
These are games that are quite obscure, yeah, that not that many people have played.
Exactly.
Yeah. God. there's one game that springs to mind, which is Dark Savior on the Saturn. I'm not sure if that is actually quite a popular game or not. I know it's meant to be, everyone thinks it's quite good, but I'm not sure how many people actually played it. Do you guys know about it, or have you played it?
I think I might have heard about it, but I never played it.
No, it's a Capcom fighting game, right?
No.
That's Darkstalkers.
Yeah. Okay. I've got the name right, I think. Yeah, Dark Savior. It's actually it's an RPG. To be honest, I haven't actually played that much of it, but what I did play was pretty damn good. It's kind of weird. It's kind of like the best way to describe it is kind of like a traditional Zelda game, but in an isometric sort of view. If that makes sense. Like, rather than just being top-down view, completely flat, it's like 3D, but isometric kind of view you're looking at.
I'm Googling it right now. I want to see what this is.
Okay. you go around, you fight in real time. I haven't actually played it for a long time, though. As far as I remember, you fight in real time, and, I don't really know what to say about it. It was a really fun game when I played it, and the story was pretty good, but it's been so damn long since I played it, I can't really remember all that much, because I never actually got around to finishing it. But it's just one of those games that really stuck in my mind when I played it. I was like, this is really good, but never got around to finishing it, so hopefully one day I'll actually get around to playing it a bit more. But yeah.
Okay.
Someone else say
something. Is that pretty easy to find? Could you pick that up on eBay for cheap money, do you know?
To be honest, I don't. I think it's probably one of the more uncommon games on the Saturn, so it probably won't be as much like Panzer Dragoon Saga, but I think it'd be like kind of fairly pricey. But I'm not sure. You'd have probably have to check. I mean,
I'm eBaying it right now. I'll let you know in a few seconds. So.
All right. So we'll move on to Ryan. Ryan, do you have a game that you think everyone should play?
Ooh. Let me have a think. Yeah.
We do a lot of preparation for this show, by the way.
Oh, Alien Soldier. I'm not sure if... Has anyone played Alien Soldier?
I've never even heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Oh, that works then. It's on the Genesis, or Mega Drive, as I call it, in Europe. And,
damn right.
And it's a treasure game. So, you know, things like Gunstar Heroes and stuff like that. It's a lot like Gunstar Heroes. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, I do.
It's a lot like that, but you play as an alien soldier, as you can probably tell, and he looks a bit like a bird, like a hawk or something, but he stands up like a human, and you basically fight a boss battle one after the other. But between the boss battles, you go through just to kill a few enemies, just to get your health back up. So basically, you've got to get through as many boss battles as you possibly can. And it plays a lot like Gunstar Heroes, sort of like that fast-paced sort of shooting type thing. So that's,
I've actually
that's
played that. You can download on the download that on Virtual Console with Wii. I don't know if you guys know that. That's the first time I've played that game. And how was the difficulty for you? Because that game sort of difficult for me.
It's a hard game. But if you get it right, you can choose your weapons at the start, like what you want to take.
Yeah,
I think if you take the right weapons, it's easier. And I think you can put it on easy mode if you want. I haven't put it on easy mode, but you can't have a normal mode. You have to have super hard or super easy.
Wow.
And it starts default on super hard. So, it's a pretty hard game, but if you play it a lot, you get quite far. I've never actually beaten it because it is very hard. But it's also great.
But so what's it called again?
Alien Soldier.
Alien Soldier. All right, okay. I might have to look at it. If it's on the Virtual Console, I might try and download it.
Yeah, you should get it. It's really good.
Is it better than Gun Star Heroes, though?
It's not... I'd say actually play it more, but I don't think more people would.
Okay. I wasn't overly impressed by Gun Star Heroes. I found it too easy, so maybe this could be... that game for me.
This is a lot harder.
Yeah. I'll have a look at it then. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, it's a good game, yeah. You should definitely try it. Everyone should try it.
Nice.
You have to go and download that.
Well,
do you have a game?
Yeah, well, first off, before I get into that, I did check it up, Dark Savior, on eBay. And there's about six auctions going, and they're all under $10. And
wow.
Yeah, not too bad. Actually, I bid on one. Just I figured, hey, I'll throw a bid up there and see what happens. So, we'll see. But yeah, it doesn't seem like it's that expensive. So I think
I can't wait to go outbid you.
What's that?
I can't wait to go outbid you.
Well, I won't tell you which one I bid on then. So, okay. I do actually have a game, and this comes from the Sega Genesis. It's actually not developed or published by Sega. It's actually by the developer is Bits of Magic, and the Electronic Arts actually published it. It's called Centurion: Defender of Rome. I don't know if any of you guys actually played that game back a long time ago.
No, I've never heard of it.
No,
I've heard of it.
You did? Okay, it's actually I played it quite a bit when I was a little kid. I played it a lot actually, but it's a really kind of basic turn-based strategy game, but the battle sequences are all in real time, so it's kind of strange. But I guess if it's a little hard to explain. Have you ever played Romance of the Three Kingdoms?
No.
Oh, shit. Okay, this is going to get even harder to explain. Basically you own a piece of land in, I guess, ancient Rome or whatever, and you're trying to conquer the entire, country of Rome. I guess Rome was a country, the Roman Empire. But in doing so, you fight against various bad guys, and there's barbarians, the Parthians, and things like that. But you didn't only just fight. You also took place. There were also like chariot races, and there was even some naval battles and things like that. And you'd have to raise money through. It was kind of like a mini game in all of itself. You'd have to raise taxes, and you'd have to raise food and things like that. And in doing so, you get money, and then you'd buy more soldiers or equipment, or you'd be able to buy ships and things like that. So it was kind of a really cool game. And if you didn't check it out way back when, I think it's definitely worth, definitely worth just picking it up if you're kind of bored and don't have anything to play.
That sounds like a really complex game for like the Mega Drive or Genesis. Right?
Yeah, it kind of was. By today's standards, of course, it's really simplistic. But back then, and I don't know, maybe that's one of the things that, interested me in it. But it was really cool. It was actually designed by a person named Kellen Beck. And they're the same person that actually developed Defender of the Crown. Did you ever play that?
I've heard of it. I've never actually got around
Defender of the Crown. Yeah, it was. It's very similar to that, but it was. kind of took place in medieval times, and they actually put out a new one on the, I think it was on the PS2 and Xbox, and it was Robin Hood, Defender of the Crown, or something like that. They made a sequel to it, but it wasn't nearly as good. But yeah, this Centurion, Defender of Rome, if you're ever bored and you know you find it somewhere in some dusty old mom and pop shop, pick it up because it's probably going to be cheap, and it's definitely worth you know $5 or $6. And you know who knows, maybe at some point in the future, maybe if EA ever jumps on the Virtual Console bandwagon, they could bring it our way or something. Who knows? So
yeah,
kind of cool game. Cool. Yeah. So
it does sound good. Sounds like Total War. Anyone play Total War?
I've played demos of it. I haven't actually played the full games yet.
I heard there's Indians in it.
It
sounds quite a lot like that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I ruined that piece.
Yeah. But, you just ruined the whole conversation.
Dang, I'm a conversation killer. Jesus. It's the whiskey talking, I promise. So, yeah, okay, that was, it came from the forums. I think, wait, has James said anything?
No, James hasn't said anything.
Oh, no, let me give my the game I went with was a Dreamcast game. It's a space sort of like a space combat flight sim game called Star Lancer.
Oh,
I don't know if any of you have played that.
That's the one game I always wanted to get but can never get it. It's always sold out every time, and then the Dreamcast dies and I couldn't get hold of it. Oh my god. Sorry, yeah, go.
it's a great game. It's kind of, I don't know if anyone's played the Wing Commander series, but it's designed by the people that made that series, and it's somewhat similar. I mean, you play as a pilot in a squadron of space fighters, and you just go through these missions, and there's a whole campaign to fight against, you know, whatever the enemy is, whoever the enemy is that's coming at the coalition of fighters, and it's really good. It's you know, you play from I always played from the cockpit perspective, so it was really immersive, especially back in the Dreamcast era. This game was probably like the pinnacle of visuals. It was just really a great looking game, and the gameplay was great. And one thing that was really impressive about it was that it had you know, the Dreamcast was one of the first systems to have online multiplayer, and this game had you could play 1 to 6 players, so it was really cool. You got into like these big dog fight matches with 6 other people, and it was just a lot of fun.
Did you actually get to play on the multiplayer then?
Yes, I did.
Oh man,
yeah, it was actually a great time.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to pick it up, because of the multiplayer. It sounded so good. I read reviews and they say it's so much fun just doing the multiplayer all the time.
Yeah, you'd use the keyboard in the second player slot. You could type anything you wanted to opponents and teammates, and it was a great time. It was really really fun multiplayer, really good single player. The single player game was excellent, and the presentation was great. I'd say, you know, if you've got a Dreamcast sitting around and you can find this game, I'd say go pick it up and see if you like it.
Oh yeah, I'm up for that.
Yeah, I actually did own that game a while back, but it was past the time when people actually played it online, and so that was kind of disappointing because I actually wanted to try that piece of the game out. Because James is completely right; it was a fantastic game, but unfortunately, I picked it up a little bit too late when there weren't very many people playing online anymore. So. Kind of missed out on that opportunity. But you know what, though, is that one of the games that are still online, do you know?
I think it was one of the games that definitely was still online when Sega shut down most of their servers, but I'm not entirely sure if it's online now, because I vaguely remember reading about that. There's only a couple of games that are still online, and I think that was one of the ones that was mentioned. But off the top of my head, I'm not sure if they're actually still around right now.
You know, actually, I just went to dreamcast.onlineconsoles.com. That's kind of one of the big websites that keep... they actually do a lot of work on getting some old Sega games back online. And it seems like it's still online, you know? They actually have an entire forum dedicated to Star Lancer. I'm looking at it right now as we speak. So, yeah, if, you know, maybe we could get something together one day, and see, we can look into it and see if, you know, if anyone else has Starlancer or is interested in it, maybe we can get a little, Sega Nerds, meetup going on and see if we can get this game back online and give it a go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be interesting. It's definitely a fun game.
I'll do that. That would be awesome.
Cool.
Play some Quake 3 Arena too.
Yeah, you know, that's probably something we probably should do a little bit more of. You know, we focus so much on what Sega's doing now and all the games that they're putting on now and a lot of the online games, and they're fun and they're great, but maybe we can look back on some of the things that the Dreamcast still offers to this day, and maybe we can get some contests going on or something like that and see if we can see how much interest there is in that today. So who knows?
I could try and do that when I'm finished my work.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that'd be cool. But, you know, I think it's really up to the community. You know, if you guys are interested in doing something like that, let us know, because we would most definitely like to participate in that and play some of those old-school Dreamcast games with you guys. But, you know, if you're interested, let us know, and we'll set it up. You know, just all you got to do is, you know, speak your mind in the forums or in the Nerdcast threads. So let us know. And at Graham's... No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say one thing that might be helpful to get that going is, you know, we'll just throw this out here and we can talk about it later, but maybe if we could have some contests where we give away Dreamcast broadband adapters.
Ooh.
Ooh. Got to try and find the money for that, though, surely.
I think I have three in my closet that I...
What? Aren't they like $100 each or something?
Are you kidding?
Well, I got them when they were in the store just sitting on shelves, so...
Are you serious?
Oh, my God.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
You got to spread the love, man. screw the all readers, right, man. Give them.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I know there is actually a way to get online broadband-wise by linking your Dreamcast to your PC. I have to find the article on that, but there was a really just detailed article on how to actually do that.
I was just thinking because I don't know how hooking up to dial-up would work nowadays. I don't even know if I could do that. So
you're not shitting us though. You have three Dreamcast broadband adapters in your closet.
Yeah, I bought two of the American ones, and then I was in Japan a few years ago, and I picked up a some rare Dreamcast that I got, and it actually came with one. So yeah, I ended up having three.
Where do you live again? just throwing that out there.
Massachusetts.
Funny. Okay. So yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that would be cool. So if you wanted to, you know, if you're willing to, you know, throw that into a contest or something like that, I think we'd probably have people from all over the internet, not just on Sega Nerds, come in and be interested, because those are one of the holy grails of accessories on the Dreamcast, definitely. I mean, those things go for lots of money. But that would be cool, yeah. So I've always wanted to get one.
All right, cool.
We'll see. Graham, you know, you're going to be jobless pretty soon, so I guess we'll give this project to you if you want to go ahead and see what kind of interest there is out there and you want to get that jump started. So that's on you now,
yeah,
bud.
See what happens, yeah?
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Give me a month and a bit, let's find out.
Yeah, okay. That was it came from the forums this week. So, yeah, if you guys want to be featured on next, I don't know if we should say next week, but we'll see. The next episode of the Sega Nerdcast, go ahead and, you know, you got to put some time and thought into making some of our forum threads and make them, you know, hopefully they'll generate some good discussion, because that's what we're looking for. We want to find threads that are interesting and, you know, thought-provoking, and I think this one by Psycho Kitten is definitely one of those. So definitely take a page out of his book, and hopefully we can continue generating some really great conversation on our forums. So that's kind of what we want to do here, and we just want to highlight some of those some of our forum members and our community who are taking an active role in doing that. So I really appreciate Psycho Echidna for making a good thread and everyone else who's participated in that conversation. So good job, guys. Now we're going to have a little Nerdcast contest. This is for one of the most shitty games I've ever played in my entire life. It's Mystery Warrior Sharen the Wanderer. I know a few people on... In when I reviewed the game, a few people thought that I was a little too negative on the game, and thought that it wasn't nearly as bad as I said it was. Well, you know what? If you really thought that, now here's your opportunity to get the game. All you're going to have to do is make a comment in this week's Nerdcast post telling us what the worst game is that you've ever played, and kind of explain yourself and tell us why it is. So, yeah, all you got to do is just post in the thread and tell us that. At the end of the week, we're going to take all the entries, and we're going to pick one randomly. And I promise that I won't wait as long as Graham did in sending out the sending out the prize, throwing you under the bus there. But yeah, so Mystery Warrior Shaoran the Wanderer is up for grabs. Ready, set, go. I know everyone's very eager to have that, and I honestly can't wait to get it out of my house. So tell us, like I said, tell us what's the worst game you played, tell us why, comment in the thread, don't email us or post in the forums. The thread is where it's at. And, you know, having said that, that about wraps it up this week. Now we're on, we're in the home stretch. One thing I do want to say before we go is, Sega Superstars Tennis is going to be releasing very soon. Actually, I think it's going to be releasing tomorrow here in Guam. But one thing that we want to do is we want to put together a Sega Superstar Tennis contest and tournament. And we're looking at possibly doing that on the Xbox 360 because we think that's probably what most of our community has and probably what a lot of people are going to be buying. So we're going to be working with Sega this week and seeing if they can. Sega or Sumo Digital, if they might be interested in sponsoring our contest and giving some of our first, second, third place winners some really cool swag. And you know, if not, I'm sure Graham is willing to offer up some of his own personal collection like he usually does to do that.
We can arrange something.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. But yeah, we just want to make something fun. I know Sega Superstars Tennis is probably one of the most highly thought of games. It's been hyped up, especially on our forums. People have been talking about that for a long time. So we want to recognize that, and we want to put together a contest. And Graham, you're not going to be working, so if you want to head up this contest, all the more power to you. But if not, we'll talk about it a little bit more later. So look for that in the very near future. We're going to be talking with Sega this week and seeing what they can do for us, and in turn, what we can do for you. So yeah, if you're on the fence about getting a PS3, Xbox 360, or the Wii, but you're interested in possibly participating in our Sega Nerds tournament, go ahead and pick it up for the 360, because that's probably what we're going to be shooting for. But later on this week, we're going to be reviewing the 360, the Nintendo Wii, and the DS version of the games. So, if you're just looking at what game you should buy and you just want a little help from, your friendly guys at the Sega Nerds site, look for that, because that should be coming really soon, as well as some other reviews like House of the Dead 2 and 3 Return, which James will be doing, and Condemned 2. Which I'll be doing. So that's pretty much what we got going. This is this week's Nerdcast, and I really appreciate you guys for sitting and listening to us. And we'll see you here in a week or two. So, yeah, take it easy, guys.
See you later, guys.
So long.
Bye.
Yep.
Sorry.
Why should you need that?
Is not available. Record your message at the tone. When you are finished, hang up or hold for more options.
Hi, this is James calling from SegaNerd.com. I was just looking to touch base. It's a little past, it's coming up on 10:30 your time, and we were scheduled to have a conference call, and I didn't get any email from you or a phone call at the scheduled time. So I was just looking to touch base and see what happened and see if there was a rescheduling or something, and we just didn't hear about it. But give me a call back and let me know if you can, and that'd be great. My phone number is... And I eagerly await your reply. Thanks a lot. Bye.